Let's go to the scripture, shall we? How many love the Word of God? Three of you. Very good. When I was a kid, going through school, I loved to spell. And we did penmanship by the hour. I didn't love that so much, but I did enjoy spelling. And how many of you had those kinds of things in school growing up, right? Spelling, penmanship. How many of you are aware that they dropped those from school? Nowadays, we have this thing called spell check. And, you know, the biggest problem with spell check is it spells a word. It might be the wrong word, but if that word's spelled correctly, it hangs in there, right? You ever run into that, send out a professional letter, and come to realize that you had three or four words that didn't belong because of spell check? They were spelled correctly, that's right. Well, this morning, I'm not going to encourage you on proper spelling, because this morning what I want to talk about is Christmas spelled with five S's, okay? So Christmas spelled with five S's. How's that? Everybody think I got the right spelling? Okay, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, a little confused. We bring you to church to confuse you. Merry Christmas. Now, as we talk about Christmas this morning, just want to take a little while and talk about the five S's of Christmas. I'm going to tell the story of Christmas. Now, I recognize that the legalists and those who are literalists among us might declare that Christmas is a pagan holiday, and indeed, Jesus wasn't born on this date. You ever hear that? Yeah. Of course he wasn't born on this date. He probably was born in August or in April, and how many care? Okay, very good. It doesn't matter. The fact is that he was born. And this is a day that around the world we choose to celebrate. Yes, I'm aware. You can look into your history. And the church calendar tried to overcome a pagan calendar. And so this was the day that became Christmas. Doesn't matter. People can get angry. People can do everything they want. Doesn't matter. The most important thing is that Jesus was born. And Jesus lived. And Jesus died, and Jesus was resurrected, and he took your sins and mine upon himself. But God came in the flesh in the form of a little baby. And so what? We call it December 25th. What a great time of year. I love it when the red sweaters come out and the sparkly doodads, and only have to worry if I start wearing sparkly doodads. So I'm not going to do that. But you know, it's a very special time of year. I call Pastor Sherry Mrs. Christmas over there. And you know, I mean, how many of you are like that in your home? The decorations are fun. The trees are fun. The joyful part of the season, the songs, I love all of them. But there's a reason for the season. And the whole reason is Jesus. He's the reason that we celebrate this very special day. And tonight, we're not going to have a Christmas Eve service because, duh, we have it this morning. So you get to be family and friends together. I'm going to share the Christmas scriptures, and let's put them up on the overhead as well so you can see them as we go through. I'm going to share a few longer sections of scripture, so if you want to, instead of falling asleep, don't do that. You can read out loud with me on the screen. And we'll begin with Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be, say it with me, afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Say the translation with me, which is translated, God with us. Anyone in this room grateful this morning that God is with us? The very assurance of his name, his character, his word, who he is, what he does. God with us. Some people think God created the world and then went on a long journey and left it all for man's devices. Well, though the world may look like it's all left to man's devices, God didn't take a long journey. He is Emmanuel, God with us. In the midst of your need, your dark times and your turmoils, the times of confusion, His name is God with us, Emmanuel. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now that's reading again this morning from the book of Matthew. We'll get to the book of Luke as well. Luke chapter 1 tells us the story of the angel coming to Mary and announcing that she would bear the baby who would become the Messiah. She responds, as you remember, with praise and worship. We call it the Magnificat. Be it unto me according to your word, and the rejoicing before the Lord. She believes God, and there's a joyful response as probably a 12, a 13, or a 14-year-old girl at the most to something that would radically change her life forever, to become the mother of the Messiah, and she rejoices. Now we come to Matthew, and we get a perspective of Joseph. You know, can you imagine the confusion? She's found the child. You understand the background culture here. In Israel, at that particular day, when they were betrothed, they were husband and wife, only they lived separately in each of their parents' houses for a year to see if there was faithfulness, and then they could consummate the marriage. So they were, in essence, husband and wife, but they had not consummated the marriage. Then Mary is found with child. Now, what do you think was the consequences in Israel during this time if there was something like this that occurred? Stoning. And it's not the 2006 version. Okay? Stoning would take place. And there was confusion. And there was a perspective of the terrible thing that Mary had done. Mary rejoices before the Lord for the great gift. And yet it's confusing in the eyes of the world. Isn't that interesting? So Joseph was a just man. He's considering, well, I should put her away, but I don't want to shame her any further. And then God comes to him and says, this is of me. Hang in there. Become the father of the Messiah, if you will. The earthly father as an expression of the heavenly father. Thank God that's what homes are supposed to be like, aren't they? Fathers like God. Mothers like God. So our children grow up in an atmosphere of belief and faith. So here we are. After 400 years of silence, the prophets had gone quiet. The darkness was upon the earth, if you will, like back in Genesis. God wasn't there speaking a present word because man had turned so against the Lord. And then God says, it's time. All the prophecies that I've sent for hundreds of years and generations before, it's time for them to be fulfilled. Can you imagine God in heaven? How many have confusion in your home the last few days before Christmas as you're stamping around, trying to get gifts, get them wrapped, get them up. Some of the guys are sitting there real casual. The ladies know what I'm talking about. The guys look up and say, what's wrong with you? Why don't you just relax? Right? Right? Yeah, guys, okay, you'll hit me later, I know. Yeah, thanks a lot, exposing me there. Anyway, so you're running around, you're going crazy, but it's going to be exciting, and you're going to have a great time, and you can just imagine the joy of giving the gifts. Consider what was in God's heart. We're created in His image with the emotions of God. Can you imagine God said, listen, it's been thousands of years, I've been prophesying this, 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New, I'm getting ready to have my kid, aren't you glad? And He's got a good news announcement to bring. Fantastic. Fantastic. You know, interesting, what was happening in the culture is they were overrun by Roman rule. They were overcome by sin's rule. No hope, oppression. The people of Israel wanted a ruling Messiah to deliver them from Rome. And God instead wanted a ruling King of Kings to sit on the throne of their heart and free them from the tyranny of sin. And it was His time. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's go to the next scripture, if you would please, Pat. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius, Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, verse 7, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because, say it with me please, there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Could you raise it up, please, Pat? Stood before them, thank you. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were... How many know it's a good thing to be fearful of the living God? Yeah, okay, not much of that left in our country, but they were greatly afraid. And the neat thing is that fear produces humility. God might give us the message, fear not, and does. But it's not a wrong thing to have an appropriate fear, an awesome wonder of God himself. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. There was a decree that went out, a taxing decree, if you will. The hardship, consider it, the traveling with a very pregnant wife just about ready to give birth. Ladies, how many would like to travel in a car, much less on donkey back? And not on superhighways, mind you. But they had to return to where Joseph, commentators say, probably, undoubtedly, was still a landowner in the land of Bethlehem. Not just where he was born, but the registration for taxes, he was probably on the land rolls. Now, Mary and Joseph wanted to be together. They knew this baby was about to be born. They knew this baby was the Messiah. They knew that it was a tough time, but they wanted to be together during it. And imagine, folks, possibly, probably, to have left her behind in Nazareth, where she might have already lost her friends who didn't understand what she was going through, would not have been a good situation. So she travels with Joseph. Let's consider now, how do you spell Christmas with five S's? Number one, first S is the stable. There was no room for them in the inn. This was a stable. They weren't welcomed into your guest room, into the nicest inn in town. This isn't the Port Ludlow Inn or the Inn at Port Hadlock, or this isn't the Marriott. We're talking about hay. We're talking about dirt. We're talking about smell. We're talking about, well, you can finish the rest. I don't need to go there. Total contrast with Caesar's palace. Total contrast with the leading aristocracy, even of the Jews in Palestine. Here it is. The king of all the ages. God's son. Born in a stable, in a manger. Now in the Greek, this word manger means and refers to both a stall and a manger, from which cattle were fed. Now in the East, the cattle were shut up in an open yard, enclosed by a rough-hewn fence of rock or stones or other materials. The poor travelers, or those who had come too late to find a room, when there was lack of room, had to stay out there with the animals. Several Christian fathers, frankly, assert that this most likely was a cave hewn from the rock. And if you've ever seen Israel, what you do see when you look at pictures of Israel, there are very few trees, and there is a lot of rock and a lot of stone. And in fact, we have beautiful renditions of the nativity with our wood and the warmth of our wood. And most likely, for certain, this was a hewn out of the rock manger, a feeding trough for the animals. It was cold, it was damp, and it was probably in a cave. A lowly manger. You know, ladies, when we were having children. I have three sons. And when we were having children, the birthing process was okay. I mean, the hospitals were all right. Our hospital in Pullman was going through a transition. So the first time we had our first son, it was a pretty rough situation. Nothing like this. But now what do you get? There's so much competition for the medical dollar, isn't there? And what do you get? Birthing centers. And what do you get at birthing centers? Now the ladies can look at me and hit me because it doesn't deliver them from the pain. But you got the comforts like you wish you had in your living room, right? Like you wish you had at home. There's a lot of competition. This is God's son. This is the king of all the ages. This is the Lord who loves you, who knows you intimately. Each person sitting in this room, Jesus knows you. And he was born in a little rock trough where the animals fed. Not too good for you or for me. Now, how many have ever said or heard somebody say, I'll go to church when I'm good enough? You ever hear that? Come on, ever said that? I got to get better before I go to church. How many recognize church is for the good, the bad, and the ugly? We don't hand the label to you. You're in this category. But church is for those who need him. God came for those who need him. Jesus was born as a baby in a manger, just like all of us are born, as a little baby. That's how much God so loves. You know what's also cool about this? Those of the people in that era who were following the Messianic prophecies knew that the prophecy for the Messiah indicated he had to be born where? In Bethlehem. Now, if they were sitting back and they were looking, certainly this young man was not, or this child was not going to be born in Bethlehem. They're still hanging out in Nazareth. They're not going to even get there in time. But notice, God knows how to change a circumstance just like that. Because he got his people to Bethlehem right when he needed to. All of a sudden, this was not on the regular timetable for taxing decrees. All of a sudden, the king declares there's going to be a tax, and they had to go back to Bethlehem. Now, the only reason I say that this morning is sometimes we wonder if God has remembered us or forgotten us. God knows how to minister to you right where you are and get you right at the right place, right as he needs to. Can you say praise God? How many have ever seen God do that in your life? He does things right on time. You know, you wish he'd do it a lot sooner, but he does it right at time, right on time. All right, what's the second S? Our second S is the shepherds. So we have the stable, now we have the shepherds. How else to spell Christmas? S for shepherds. The life of the shepherd, folks, was the pit. That's a nice, genteel word to use in church. It was the pit. They were out there at the night and the day and the hail, the sleet, the snow, the rain, and it's kind of the motto that the post people used to do, you know. And the shepherds were out there in extreme heat and cold. The food consisted of figs or pods from the carob tree, locusts, wild honey. They had to protect their animals against the bears and the lions, oh my. Lions and tigers and bears and the risk of robbers. And they had a robe. They had a sheepskin. They had a pouch containing a small amount of food. They had a sling. And by the way, the sling is still the favored weapon of choice for the Bedouin shepherd nowadays. They had a staff which served the double purpose of being a weapon against foes, a crook to manage the flock. That doesn't mean today's definition of crook, you know. Not a CEO that was bad to manage the flock, but one of those things that, you know, could guide them along with. And they had a light tent. And probably these shepherds also could find caves by Bethlehem. Oftentimes, they slept out under the stars or a light tent. How many think being a shepherd would be an easy life? How many think they might be tempted to be named Lumpy and Grumpy? But God didn't take his message to the highest royalty. God didn't go to the Donald Trump of the day. God didn't go to the high and mighty. God went to the shepherds who were working hard out in the fields to watch over the flock. God today speaks to shepherds who care for the flock of God. God gives a message of life. Aren't you glad? Don't you hope there's a message of life that comes to you on Sunday mornings? Yes, sir, preach it, Pastor Kev. But he didn't go to the big shots. By the way, this whole point of him, of them watching the flock by night is proof that it was in the cool of the evening that they were watching the flocks, because the heat of the day would indicate a time of year that most likely was not winter. Okay, that's just a little aside for those who like to know the history and the background of those things. But David was a shepherd. He knew how to care for the flock. God comes and speaks to the shepherd's hearts. What's the third S? The third S in Christmas is the song. There's a stable he was born in. There's the shepherds that are spoken to. And then there's the song. You know, the angels come around. When God throws a party, he really knows how to throw a party. Better than any of the graphics or the computer graphics you can see on a movie. Better than anything that can be done. All of a sudden, the night sky is split with a thunderous chorus praising God. Lights are shining. It's a light show. Don't you think it makes sense the shepherds might have been afraid? What is going on? God's showing up. God's excited. And the shining light is taking place. And man, this is God's shining moment. And suddenly there was with the angel. And you know, that's kind of cool. It didn't just kind of melt its way in so you can get used to it. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Folks, Christmas is all about praise. It's all about worship. It's all about joy. It's about the songs, about the carols. It's about Jesus who gets our praise. He's worthy of our worship. It's not just, by the way, happy holidays. It is Merry Christmas. All around the world, whether they acknowledge it or not, the name of Christ on the lips of people. Not just happy holidays. Christmas. Thank God. Ring the bells. Because it's good news. John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, you've seen men hand out cigars when their babies are born. This is God handing out a baby and promises and light and song. Glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine? Everybody, the whole eternity, everything's rejoicing. The climactic point of all the ages, besides the cross, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection, the birth of Jesus is one of the most climactic point in all the ages. God's Son, the Messiah, who loves you, who loves me. Imagine, lights, camera, action, baby is born. That word shown in the Greek is to illuminate, to invest with a halo. That's why in all the old artistries and the pictures or the paintings, you see halos on the people. It meant and referred to the glory of God that illumined their countenances. Paralampo, that sounds like lamp, right? Paralampo, L-A-M-P-O, and that's the Greek word. Lift up your voice and sing. What was the response of the shepherds now? Joy, excitement. Just like we get to experience when we worship God. There's a joy, there's a lifting of our countenance. It's really hard to sing some of our praise and worship choruses with a real down countenance. Praise God for his good. Yeah, whippy ding, sing again. It doesn't do it, does it? We start clapping or we start rejoicing and I have you reach out and hug each other and some of you can't stand that, but I do it to you anyway. They made haste, the Bible says. And they made haste. The Greek word is spudo. Spudo. Sounds like speedo. And then spiudo, it means literally speed. They urged on. They were urging one another. Can you imagine? You see them running down the hillside, going in the dark. Come on. Let's go find this baby. God said his baby was born. I believe him. You believe? I believe. Come on. Let's go. So they start running down to find the Messiah. Let's go to scripture number 3, Pat, please. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We've got 3 S's in Christmas already, only 2 to go. And so we go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd, God's into having good shepherds for his flock, isn't he? Who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, thank you, Pat, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with it, with what? Exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they'd opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The fourth S is the star. The Magi, or the Magos in the Greek, came looking for him because of what they saw that's become known as the Christmas star. Man, God knows how to turn on a light. God knows how to create a light in a dark place. That's what the church is to be, isn't it? A light in the dark place of the earth where hope is needed and life is needed and help is needed and deliverance and strength. That's what the church is to be here for. But these were pagan astronomers, some say even astrologers. They understood a sign from God in the sky, a special star. Now, some people have tried to describe this as either being a supernova or planets lining up. Many conjectured that there were three planets or more that lined up, and that's why there was a brilliant light in the sky. Perhaps it was simply the Shekinah glory of God. Remember the pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness? By day, or by night rather, there was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Perhaps that's what it was. Nevertheless, it led these wise men to Bethlehem and led them to where the child was. Now notice, just for those of you who are keeping notes on these things, the Bible doesn't say there were three wise men. We have a whole tradition about three wise men, but it doesn't necessarily say there were only three. Maybe there was a whole crowd. At the very least, if there were three, there were their entourage that came with them. Jesus, though, also was now a young child in the house. It wasn't a babe in the manger. But this is part of the glorious story of what the reality is of Jesus being born. What's important? What is important here? Already, all of man's knowledge, all of the wisdom of man who thinks he's so smart, the astrology, even the demonic hordes, everything, has already bowed the knee to Jesus, the Messiah. When you surrender to Jesus, what do you find? Same thing these guys found. Great joy. Exceeding great joy. Now, the gifts they provided for the Messiah, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold can, and in fact, in Scripture, does represent his deity, his purity. Incense is the fragrance of his life, and incense also refers to the prayer and praise and worship of the saints. Myrrh is the spice that was burned at sacrifice and death. Myrrh was used for embalming. So those things were already prophesied. His pure life, his life lived on our behalf, and his death to come. But these gifts were also the gifts that Joseph used to fund the family as they had to go into Egypt and come back into Nazareth. So they come and they find the child and they fall down and they worship. You know, when we worship God, we get a fresh glimpse of the Savior. You know that? When you turn your eyes off yourself and off of your problem, you see Jesus. How many want to see Jesus even in a better way today? I want to see you, Lord. And the fifth S in Christmas, indeed, is the Savior. We have the stable. We have the star. We have what? We have the stable. We have the shepherds. We have the song. We have the star. We have the Savior. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God saves us. Jesus, Luke 2 verse 11, for unto you, say it with me please, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Folks, he really is the reason for Christmas. He's the reason we celebrate. Celebrate and enjoy opening gifts and feasting and celebrate a hoped for Seahawks win. Celebrate and enjoy. That's what this season's all about. And enjoy singing the carols, enjoy everything, but most of all, enjoy Jesus, the Savior, who came to save us from our sins. We bow before him at every stage of his life, a babe in a manger, a toddler at the house, later at the cross, at his resurrection. And today we bow before him as well. He's worth your whole heart and life. He's worth giving your life to. He came to give his life to you. And that's how you spell Christmas, with five S's. And I'm going to finish with a little story here. There's a lady who talks about how her husband and she had been unable to give birth to a child. They'd been married for 5 years, and some of you may have known that frustration, and they had not yet been blessed with a baby. They began to do some serious praying, and she promised God that if he would give them a child, she would be an absolutely perfect mother. Are there any? Are there any perfect dads? Are there any perfect kids? Now's your shot. No way. After five years. Oh, yeah, Pastor Sherry's saying her kids are perfect. Right. After 5 years of serious praying, God gave them a child. God answered the prayers, gave him a son. And the year after, God blessed him with another son. And the following year, he blessed him with another son. The year after that, they were blessed with a daughter. They decided they better quit praying. They had four children. The oldest was only 4 years old, and she began to try to be that perfect mother. So she read Bible verses to the child every night, and as they lay in their cribs, and she would pray for them and read the scriptures to them. And she knew she was off to a great start, and God had entrusted her with four kids, and she wasn't going to disappoint him. Then she tried to be patient. This may sound familiar. She had to hold on to her patience the day the kids smashed 24 eggs on the kitchen floor, just searching for baby chicks. She tried to be understanding when they started a hotel for homeless frogs in a spare bedroom, and it took her nearly 2 hours to catch all 23 frogs. She tried to be patient when her daughter poured ketchup all over herself and rolled up in a blanket just so she could see what it felt like to be a hot dog. And in spite of changing over 25,000 diapers, never getting to eat a hot meal, never sleeping for more than 30 minutes at a time, she said, "I still thank God daily for my children." She admitted, "I was not able to be a perfect mother. I didn't even come close. I did keep my promise to read the Word of God to them, but I knew I was missing the mark when 1 year, we were going to church to worship God, and she wanted to bring her daughter said, "I want to bring a bar of soap along to wash up Jesus too." Instead of worship, she was going to wash up Jesus. Something was lost in the translation when I explained that God gave us everlasting life, and my son thought it was generous of God to give us his last wife. But her proudest moment came during the children's Christmas play, the pageant for the children. And I hope that we continue to grow and have families with little children, so maybe next year we can have a children's play here. Wouldn't that be fun? Her proudest moment came during the children's Christmas pageant. Her daughter was playing Mary, two of her sons were shepherds, and her youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to shine. "My five-year-old shepherd had practiced his line. We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." But he was nervous, and it came out as, "The baby was wrapped in wrinkled clothes." My four-year-old yelled at him and said, "It's not wrinkled clothes, silly. That's dirty, rotten clothes." A wrestling match broke out on the stage between Mary and the shepherd, and they were stopped by the angel who bent her halo and lost her left wing. I slouched a little lower in my seat when Mary dropped the doll playing Jesus, and it bounced down the aisle crying, "Mama, Mama." Mary grabbed the doll, wrapped it back up, held it tightly as the wise men arrived. My other son stepped forward, wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown, knelt at the manger and announced, "We are the three wise men, and we are bringing gifts of gold, common sense, and fur." The congregation dissolved into laughter. The pageant got a standing ovation. Pastor walked up to the mother and said, "I've never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one." "So for the rest of my life," she says, "I'll never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur." This is a season of joy, a season of special times with family, with friends who love you, with kids who get to come and visit their parents. Every single one of us in this room undoubtedly have things that are on our heart. But you know something? God's bigger than that thing on your heart. It's time. Let's set that thing aside. And let's just praise our Savior. He's worthy of all praise. And our God, who is so big and loves us so much, sent His Son to live, to die, and to be born again. Today, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't say there's no room at the inn, but invite Him in. Surrender to Jesus. And let this be the Christmas that it was designed and destined to be, a celebration of praise before the Lord. Father, we thank You for this special time of year that we call Christmas. We thank You that You are so good, and we give You our love and our hearts. We give You our praise in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for gold, common sense, and fur. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Sherry, would you come, please?